Tonight, I've been thinking about some things this week, and there's a song I'm going to close the sharing with. But I've just been thinking about, even like those guys who sang on that song right there, their voices just blended so wonderfully. And, you know, it really brings out sort of a soothing melody that, especially with believers in Christian music and you know, with the people who wrote those songs and really sing those songs with a heart for God, that it really does minister, and it really does can kind of evoke, you know, special different types of emotions. And so what I thought about is the life we live and what I've called our symphony of life. And really, in partnership with God and in conjunction with Him, I guess you might say, and with one another in the body of Christ, whether we interact closely with other people, we're still very connected with the body of Christ. And so, you know, our symphony of life, it's the blended harmony of the one body, which is expressing the mystery of God. In love. And it's evidenced by being mutually complementary and supernaturally satisfying. How about that for a statement? Our symphony of life is the blended harmony of the one body expressing the mystery of God in love, evidenced by being mutually complementary and supernaturally satisfying. This must just thrill the heart of God to no end that there are believers in this life today who are living the mystery, are living out that dream that God kept secret from before the foundations of the world. And so this song I'll play at the end is called Walking in the Rhythm of Grace. And I thought how well that describes what we've been blessed with and really what empowers us day by day to stay blessed, be blessed, give our cares to God. And I wrote a short list of things that I thought about because according to Ephesians chapter 2, we're His workmanship, right? That's that word poema, which means we're God's work in progress. We get our word poem from that. We're His masterpiece, you know, and we've begun in grace and we'll finish the race in grace. And so here are some of the things I thought about. Grace and peace, grace and mercy, grace and goodness, grace and patience, grace and power, grace and love, grace and transformation, grace and freedom, grace and strength, grace in rest. And so all of these things you could probably do, you know, a series of teachings on and how those things are all interrelated. But we want to be able to live out that calling, that which is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And we have that recognition that we're a masterpiece. Doesn't matter what you see when you look in the mirror, how you feel. We're talking spiritually according to God's perspective. We are a masterpiece. And that's the thing that we work with in our minds to believe and then appropriate and walk day by day, is that we are a masterpiece. We've been made a masterpiece, not by our works, not by our goodness, not by our personality. We did one thing right. We accepted Jesus Christ at some point in time in our life, and at that point, we became chosen of God. We became beloved of God. Like it says in 3 John, beloved, now, 1 John chapter 3, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. The only way that could have happened is by God's love. And so that's what's caused me to, I think, want to talk about symphony and melody and harmony and walking in that rhythm of grace. That's the extension of our life. is that when things begin to really fall into place, all I can think about is like a great orchestra who, you know, everyone's playing a different instrument. Boy, when they blend their voices or they blend those instruments together, what comes out? Beautiful, beautiful music. And so I wanted to take a brief look at Ephesians chapter 2. Historically, and kind of the classic teachings of all times, Vicki did one a couple of years ago, probably now, but we keep coming back to it. Many people make references to it, and the simple title was called, But God. And so a lot of things go on in life, a lot of ups and downs and ins and outs and this and that and different things. But we always come back to these verses in Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 4, where maybe the word should be 10 feet tall and 10 feet wide. And I'll read it a little out of context, but I want to just start in verse 4, where it says, But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come, verse 7, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith? And that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. There it is. We're his workmanship. His workmanship. His creation. His masterpiece. His work in progress. And we're created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. You know, a topic like this and verses like this, there's really not a whole lot of explanation that needs to take place at this time, because these verses just stand on their own because God is so rich in mercy and he's loved us so much. He quickened us together. He made us alive with Christ. We made a great choice when we chose Jesus. Because of all the men who's ever lived and died and did some great things upon this earth, Jesus has impacted each and every life, whether they believe or don't believe. Everything in this life has been affected by the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, we've been a masterpiece. And we are masterpieces. We're called in grace. We're restored in grace. We're transformed by grace. We're perfected in grace. We're completed in grace. And there is only one price that could have been paid to enable us and allow us to be partakers of the divine nature of God and partakers of this grace of God. There's only one price that could have been paid. You know what it was? You know where it happened? Calvary. Calvary. Man, you ever heard that song, On a Hill Far Away Stood an Old Rugged Cross, the emblem of suffering and shame? I love that song because that's really the foundation upon which we really now stand and can move forward. Without the cross, Christianity, I mean, yes, the resurrection, absolutely, but the blood of Jesus Christ is really what redeemed mankind and brought him out of that old sin nature. He paid the price. You know, in Romans 5:17, if you want to take a quick look there, Romans 5:17, great verse. And a number of weeks ago, I shared on memorizing scripture. And so this was the verse that I ended up, I guess we'll call it re-temorizing. And so I wrote it down many times, and I quoted it many times, and I read it, and I started to say it line by, you know, kind of word by word. And so here it is. And it's a great verse that I think, you know, really talks and summarizes kind of what we're talking about here in this symphony of life. Blended harmony. Oh, my gosh, I just love that. Blended harmony. First of all, with God. It reminds you of Romans 5:1, where it says, we'll take a quick look there if you're in Romans. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we didn't accomplish that work. We didn't do it. We have peace with God because of what Jesus did. And it says, by whom we also we have access by faith, where into this what? Grace. Wherein we what? We stand. We're in the grace of God, guys. We don't have to work to get into the grace of God. It's a free gift. It's something that we've been blessed with. It's something that we've just been given. God is just so smart, so wise, so kind, so good. And here in verse 17, it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall what? Reign in life by whom? By one, Jesus Christ. That somehow God really put in my heart to be the verse for me to memorize. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, what one? Adam. One man's offense, Adam's offense, death, spiritual death reigned by one, much more. Well, it doesn't take a lot of explanation to tell you what much more is. Much more. They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. We've been given righteousness, that right standing before God. That ability to fellowship with the Father, not feel guilty, not feel condemned, but in His presence, because we have received much more above and beyond, exceeding abundantly above that which Adam, what we inherited through the Adam nature. That's just such a great reality, guys. And that's what enables us to walk with power, walk with love, walk with humility, walk with compassion. All these things that are talked about in the practical sections of Ephesians, Colossians, and other sections of the Word about the mystery and how we are to interact and partner with one another. And in that process, we bring out the best of each other. And in that process, because each one of us has that Christ spirit, we're bringing out the best in one another, and our lives become blended. They become intertwined. They become interconnected. And that produces this wonderful harmony. And it expresses the mystery of God, exactly what God had in mind. No Jew, no Gentile, no Presbyterian, Catholic, or anything else. One body, for there is no difference. See? And to be energized and strengthened with the love of God, those things then become what I call mutually complementary and supernaturally satisfying. I just love the thought of that we're called in grace, restored in grace, transformed by grace, perfected in grace, completed in grace. There's only one price that could be paid. And that was through the life and death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom we really, really, truly give thanks tonight. So our lives are like a big symphony, and we play a part. So I just say, hey, play your part the best you can. Others play their part the best they can. And in the process, we find ourselves walking in this great rhythm of grace.
for salvation, there's no condemnation like the old.
Father, how thankful we are to have partnership with you, have harmony with you, Lord, and it's only because of what Jesus did that gives us the authority, the right, the privilege to be there. And what can we honestly say, Father, other than thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you, God. We do our darn best every day to trust you, to believe in you, to uphold the promises of your word, Father, and yet that falls so far short. But thank you, God, that you love us so much. You don't look at all that junk. You see the good in us, Father, and I pray that we can walk in the strength and the power and the love today that you've just blessed us with so wonderfully. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ for every person who's joined in here tonight, Father, that they really receive something here and gotten blessed with just a greater understanding of maybe the simplicity of what we have, what we've been blessed with, how big their lives are as a part of the body of Christ. And then all of us together, Father, playing our part, really bring forth this glorious praise to you that just blesses you, God, and that's our desire, is just to really want to bring glory to you and evidence the realities that we have. We've been so freely given. So we thank you, God. We praise you. We love you. And thank you, God, that you continue to work with us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.